version.
Your guests in Conversion tonight are a couple of Australia's best-known musos who each make quite different music but are getting together later this year for a joint tour called Together Alone. Firstly, I am thrilled to welcome one of the founding members of Cold Chisel, a guitarist who's been nominated as one of Australia's best numerous times, a man who's had a solo career with memorable hits like Tucker's Daughter and Telephone Booth, and who's worked with everyone on the Australian music scene at some time, Ian Moss. Welcome to Nightline.
Thank you, sir.
And he's teaming up tonight for your listening pleasure with Troy Cassadaley, country music singer-songwriter, winner of about a squillion Golden Guitar, ARIA, and Indigenous
rest.
Music Awards over the course of his career. Yeah. There's a long list, Troy, when you look at the website.
It's almost embarrassing, Suzanne, but thank you very much. And it's just lovely to be here, lovely to yarn to you.
So what are they converting you to tonight, Nightlifers? Is it country? Is it rock? Is it alt country? No, tonight these two are bringing you the blues. So, and they're in here tonight to also talk about their tour coming up in October across four states. This isn't your first time touring together. Troy, how did you two get together in the first place?
Look, this is actually the Mark II of the Together Alone tour. And look, it was a fair while ago that we worked out yesterday when we were doing some yarning that it was 22 years ago we first met properly. But, you know, I was making a record with Nash Chambers up on the Central Coast, and it got to the stage where I thought to myself, I'm going to invite some friends. So I invited Don Walker up from Chisel to come and sing on a Hank Williams song, because we both love those old country tunes. And he said, well, I've got Ian here. Would you mind if I bring him up for a run? And then I'm up there and I'm singing on a Dan Penn song, Dark End of the Street. And I had the talk back accidentally left on while I was singing, and I could hear Ian singing along with me next to Nash. And I stopped the track at the end of the track and I said, Nash, can you just ask Ian to come in and sing on this properly with me instead of the talkback microphone? And I think that's where we realised that a few of the limbs of the old musical family tree are definitely intertwined.
Ian, what's the kind of alchemy then? I mean, you obviously wouldn't be doing this again if it hadn't been such a wonderful experience the first time. What's the alchemy that you two have on stage, do you think?
Oh, it's down to a lot of things. I think we've got really similar sense of humours. We both love the blues, and we tend to think, you know, these days country, rock, soul, R&B, funk, it all really comes from the same tree, just to, you know, slightly different branches. So we're not that far apart.
So that's something you really have in common.
Yeah.
So when it came to deciding that tonight you would convert us to the blues, that wasn't a hard decision then, Troy?
Oh, look, not for me. I mean, I'm a real blues fan, and I think I've always had that sort of thing where when we were asked about what songs to choose for this, it was really quite hard for me, because it's very broad palette to paint from, the blues. So the songs are chosen for a reason, and they've got certain memories associated with them as well, Suzanne. And I think when we play together and we're accompanying each other on stage, a lot of this music sounds like it's more country soul. And you know, when you listen to a lot of old Chisel tracks and things like that too, I think you'll hear all these elements in there that you don't even know are there, unless you go, that's not a rock song, that's a reggae song.
Or a jazz song.
Or a jazz song, you know. And so, yeah, this fella steps into a lot of puddles, and it's great to watch how it happens, you know.
Yeah. And so, Ian, tell us about the blues in your life. I mean, was it really part of one of your influences growing up, or just part of the whole melting pot?
Somehow I picked up on it fairly early, because I was born and raised in Alice Springs. But I probably partially can thank the ABC for some of those early influences, because that's the only radio station we had, but it played completely unbiased. Played, as you'd expect, lots of country stuff, you know, all the good old classics, Wolverton Mountain, Little Boy Lost, you know, Cool Water, and many, many more. But it was also at the same time playing Aretha Franklin, Sam Cooke, and Ray Charles, so I'm getting that blues influence there. And one of the biggest early influences for me was, I think I was only about 5 or 6 years old, and a neighbour across the street, a woman had an album called Harry Belafonte Live at Carnegie Hall, and it was this beautiful acoustic, almost gospel mixture of people. Just very simple instrumentation, but Odetta, I remember being one of the singers, as well as Harry Belafonte. I remember just absolutely loving that record.
I do have Troy Cazzadale and Ian Moss here in our studio tonight. They are going to convert you to the blues. We better get started. Troy, we'll start on your list. B.B. King and Thrill Is Gone. Talk to us about why this is on your list.
Look, I had some older cousins that were right into blues, and I hadn't really been, you know, exposed to it a lot. A lot of the stuff I listened to was a lot of country, and there's a lot of Eagles and Creedence and stuff on either side for me. But then my cousin brings over this beautiful B.B. King record, and when The Thrill Is Gone came on, I hadn't heard a minor blues before, done like that. And then I listened to his voice, and he seemed so young, but it just had this, like, it just got you straight in the heart, you know, when you hear his lyrics in this particular song. So my influences started to broaden from that moment on. I was straight away a fan of the blues. Mm. I didn't realise what I was listening to at the time, but, you know, that music takes you straight back to a hard, hard time in America where it was born out of the cotton fields and places like that. So it made me realise that this music had a background. So I started to dig. And that's why I thought I'd start with this song.
B.B. King, The Thrill Is Gone. B.B. King and The Thrill Is Gone, chosen for you tonight on this instalment of Conversion by my guests Ian Moss and Troy Cazzadale. They're going to be touring together across four states in October, kicking off in Caloundra, Queensland on October 15. They'll be in Tweed Heads, Grafton, Albury, Wagga Wagga, Thirroul, Springwood, Wyong, Port Macquarie, Hobart, Ballarat, Geelong, Traralgon, Bendigo, Frankston, and wrapping up in Wangaratta. That'll be on the 12th of December. But what they are doing for you tonight is converting you to the blues. Now, you've both picked songs from Howlin' Wolf tonight. Ian, why is Howlin' Wolf so important in the history and the story of the blues?
One of the pioneers, for sure. Chester Burnett is the real name, I believe, of Howlin' Wolf. It's a classic thing of, in, you know, I started learning guitar at a young age and was doing sort of great, fantastic Hank Marvin bad covers of The Shadows, wonderful instrumentals. But then suddenly the scene exploded, and there was Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, Blackmore, Jeff Beck,
yeah.
all that sort of that era. And so the first version of the first song you're going to play of mine was by Cream, Eric Clapton and Cream. But then at some stage especially got into songwriting and learned to start trying to songwriting, you then thought about, who do these guys learn from? Mm. And so you started going back to listen to who they listened to, and then I discovered that's when I first discovered Howlin' Wolf's version of this particular song you're about to introduce, and it opened up a whole new world. So you started listening to those people and copying, that's what you do with the guitar. You'll just steal licks here and there, and you eventually hopefully come up with your own thing. Song written by Willie Dixon. And first, and then the first version, the first old original version I heard was by Howlin' Wolf.
So this is Spoonful from Howlin' Wolf from back in 1960. Mm-hmm. Alan Wolf and Spoonful. That's one of the picks from Ian Moss. It was one of my guests tonight, along with Troy Casadale, converting you to the blues. It's Nightlife on ABC Radio. Suzanne Hill with you. Ian, what did you learn then from Howlin' Wolf about songwriting when you went back to listen to the influences of your influences?
It's probably at that stage it's more into the guitar playing and the sparseness and the phrasing. And starting to learn guitar playing wasn't necessarily about how many millions of notes you could fit in one bar, but it was all about how the spaces you could leave, and it's important to understand the lyrics and what the story's about, and try and play to the story, play for the guy in the story that's suffering the blues, and try to help him out, kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, and Troy, for you, what does Howlin' Wolf represent?
Look, I think through the Rolling Stones, a lot of people inadvertently got introduced to Muddy Waters and to Howlin' Wolf because they were big influences on that band. And they used to have the vinyls under their arms on the trains going back home to listen to them. That was what they did, Mick and Keith. You see all those really beautiful old concerts that used to be held over there in England. These people from the South, black people predominantly, the blues singers had a bigger audience in England than they did in their own country half the time. And they were honoured over there in England. Whereas at home, they were sort of like, oh, you're not even allowed in certain bars, whereas they were put on pedestals over there. So thanks to the Rolling Stones for opening up a lot of people's ears to these artists. And for me, Howlin' Wolf, the reason I've got a song of his in there as well is that I remember hearing this song years and years ago, and in our culture and in Indigenous culture, if you got an itchy right hand, it meant you were going to come into money. But if you had an itchy left hand, it meant the money was going out. Hmm. And that was an old sort of a folk wives' tale thing that we had.
What's wrong?
Yeah, so, and I heard it in this song. He said, my right hand is itching.
Huh.
He said, must be some money coming soon or something like that, he said in there. And I resonated with it. I thought, my nan used to say that. Yeah. So how does something from Indigenous culture in Australia resonate with some old mojo sort of a saying that's happening in America? Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows where that came from? But, that really inspired me about Howlin' Wolf, and that's why I became a fan when I heard those lines.
Yeah, and that's why you picked this track for us, which is called Ain't Superstitious.
Cross my tree. Well, I ain't superstitious, but a black cat just crossed my tree. Don't sweep me with no broom, I just might get put in jail.
Howlin' Wolf and Ain't Superstitious, chosen for you tonight by Troy Casadale, who is here with Ian Moss. Together they are converting you to the blues. Troy, that line right at the end of the song, don't sweep me with no broom, that had a resonance for you too, didn't it?
Well, it did, because my grandmother, being Indigenous and Irish, seriously had so many things that she thought would bring you bad luck. And if she had a lot of rules and regulations when it came to certain things, but she would never sweep out when it was dark. For some reason, there was something that she said, oh, you might coax a ghost. Mm. So she would sweep up in the house and then leave the broom at the door until the morning, and then she'd sweep it out. And in the lines in this thing, which resonated with me too, he says, don't sweep me with no broom, or I might end up in jail because it'll bring you bad luck.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, Troy, I know you've had a long history both as a performer and an audience a member at Blues Fest, which, of course, has now been staged for the last time. Tell us about some of your favourite experiences there over the years.
At Blues Fest?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I remember one night just hearing Buddy Guy do a sound check. It was the most searing sounding Stratocaster I've ever heard, and loud. Now, I don't know how they would ever keep the volume down enough in that tent that he was about to play. I watched the show, of course, but it would have interrupted every other show at the other tents because it was extremely loud. But when he came out and played and sang, it wasn't loud. It just made sense. That's sort of the way, that's the world he came from. Mm. And it was one of the most moving things I'd ever seen, other than Archie Roach. watching Archie Roach one day on a Sunday afternoon was like going to church. And I'm not that religious, you know, but watching him, it was about maybe three, four years before he passed away. And it was an amazing memory for me from Bluesfest. Mm.
And Ian, you've played at Bluesfest too. How much of a loss do you think that festival is?
Well, huge, yeah. It's with great to write songs, record, get into the studio, whatever. But ultimately, our love and where our heart is to play live. And, you know, we're getting tired of watching venues diminish from being able to play, back in the late 70s, early 80s in Sydney, you could have, say, Midnight Oil, The Angels and Cold Chisel at their peak playing in a different pub in the same suburb on a Tuesday night, and they'd be all packed out. But, you know, boy, it's just, yeah, that's somewhat diminished. So, it's a big loss.
Yeah. Does that make it more challenging for you, though, when you're going out on the road to find venues these days?
They kind of go hand in hand. Mm. It does. We've got to keep improvising and trying to come up with venues, hence, you know, Troy going out and doing theatres. Yeah, we just hope and pray that things will turn around, and because people do love their music. They want their music, so it's got to be out there somewhere.
I think you can break it down to demographics too. I mean, you know, the kids have a certain thing they want to go and watch. I mean, the CMC festival up there that's mainly American country that comes out is always sold out, and it's chock-a-block because it's got a real niche market. Mm. The Blues Fest had a real niche market. But I think that, you know, what Ian and I are doing too, like you play theatres where people come into a theatre show, they're invested in that show. Mm. They are there not to drink and talk over you. They're there to listen. They're there to come along for the ride that we provide. And the ride that we provide, I think, is the stories that are associated with some of these songs. You never get a chance to talk about them, Suzanne. Mm. But you do get a chance to extrapolate a little bit more when you've got time and there's a bit of room. Yeah. And that's one thing I love about this show. We get to play on each other's tunes. There's a mutual respect with that. But, you know, the stories are just as important as the songs.
Yeah. So what, you can't do that in pub rock, Ian? You can't go out in...
might get a full stubby in the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
on with it.
Shut up and play the song.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Ian, let's go back to your list. The next one that you've chosen for us is Albert King, Born Under a Bad Sign. Tell us about it.
Simply just one of those... you know, just a little bit more than your standard 12 bar. Just a fantastic set of lyrics. Song written by Booker T and William Bell. Probably done their own version, but I think Albert King's version is the king.
1, 2. Born on a bad sign. I've been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I will have no luck at all.
Albert King, Born Under a Bad Sign. Your guests on Conversion in Nightlife tonight are Troy Cassidaly and Ian Moss, who are picking you songs from the blues to convert you tonight. That one was chosen by Ian Moss, and Troy's back up next. But Troy, where do you see the crossovers between blues and country? What kind of relationship do they have?
For me, they come from the same roots music thing, you know, the integrity in the lyric, the simplicity of the melody too. I think before things got too complicated, country and blues were definitely just joined at the hip. You know, a lot of that music comes from the South. A lot of the music, the country music, broke into two sort of genres as well, where they said all the music from Nashville comes out of the churches and all the country music from Bakersfield came out of the bars. So blues had a similar thing, you know. There was Chicago blues, there was Texas blues. Everyone sort of had their own style. And I just fell in love with it from the first moment I heard B.B. King playing. But then, you know, you start getting onto the more contemporary artists. And I remember doing a music course in Lismore when I was a kid, and one of the blokes was a mad blues fan, and he said, "Have you ever heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan?" And I went, "No, never heard of him." He said, "Have a listen to this." And he played me Texas Flood. And I just went, who the hell is this? And I need to know who this is. I hadn't heard anything as raw, probably as honest as that since I'd been listening to a lot of the original artists, but I didn't realise he was a newer act that was around. And then as you start to listen to the story and read about someone who's like Stevie Ray Vaughan and his tragic demise in that helicopter after that show they did, it just makes you appreciate the blues on a whole other level. And Stevie now has influenced a whole other generation of guitar players.
Sure has. My Stevie Ray Vaughan story, if I may.
You may.
Go.
Was Cultures. We just did the one tour. We got to tour in the United States for one time, and one of our gigs was in Austin, Texas. And it was a one-day festival thing called the Tornado Jam, and we were the only outsiders. And I remember we'd sort of come from, I think we were in Houston the night before, and we'd just rocked up there, drove in backstage in the afternoon. We weren't on till the evening. Jumped out of the car and I could hear this fantastic guitar wailing from the stage. It's like, oh, who the hell is that? And running across there, but they had this real strict security and no other bands could be up on the side of the stage before while other bands were on. So I'm standing back there craning your neck and I'm looking over the door. All I could see was just this hat, which turned out to be, you know, that I never even got to find out the guy's name on the day. But then 4 years later when David Bowie released Let's Dance, I go, that's that same guitar player. I recognised it straight away. Mm-hmm. Then you saw the film clip and saw the hat. That was him. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan in 1980.
You didn't even know you'd seen him at the time.
That's it.
Amazing. This is Stevie Ray Vaughan, the man with the hat, Texas Flood. It's Texas Flood, Stevie Ray Vaughan, my guests on Conversion tonight here on Nightlife on ABC Radio with Troy Cassidaly and Ian Moss. And they will be touring together, the Together Alone Tour, through October, November and December, starting in Caloundra, Queensland, wrapping up in Wangaratta in Victoria. Ian, the tour itself, are you singing together, singing on each other's songs? What's the together bit and what's the alone bit?
Good question. The format, I'll let Troy explain the title of the tour, but just to explain the format, we're solo acoustic. Mm. On acoustics essentially, I'm just on the one guitar. Troy brings some more colours to it with a special instrument. I've forgotten the name. I think it was Ganja, wouldn't it?
No, it was called the Ganja.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
And it's just a six-string banjo, mm-hmm. and it breaks up the acoustic thing a bit. And we walk onto stage together. We, you know, make what we have to make together and make it work and work towards making each other's songs sound great as much as we can. And and then it's a case of, you know, we also have some laughter. And there's a lot of stories. And like I say, mm-hmm. being able to accompany each other is the goal, to make sure mm-hmm. that sounds as good as it can. And we've got a live record we're putting together and mixing at the moment. And listening through to those mixes sounds like two people that just really want to be there and play music. And so I hope that's what people experience all the way from, you know, Caloundra through to Wangaratta and get to see the magic when two styles meet in the middle like this.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to Ian. Your list, you've got Etta James next, I'd Rather Go Blind.
So many great choices. There were so many terrific choices for Etta James songs. We'll get straight into it. This is just a classic Etta.
Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind.
See?
walk away from me, yeah.
Etta James and I'd Rather Go Blind. Whose voice was that that we caught at the end there? Isn't that one of you?
Me mucking around pretending to be a soul singer. But I got to say, how beautiful is she?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just stuff that will inspire generation after generation. That ain't going anywhere, that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Troy, we've got your final song tonight. It's ZZ Top and Blue Jeans Blues.
Righto, there's a backstory here. We were living in Nashville, Tennessee. Our kids were in a middle school and an elementary school, and I was writing a record, and a mate of mine, Keith Urban, was there, and Keith said, "Do you want to come on the plane and come and check out a few dates?" And I said, "Yeah, it'd be great, mate. I'd like to go on, you know," because we were in Talent Quest together at Tamworth. Mm. So we got the plane, got over to where we were going to go to, stayed on the road for 2 or 3 days, and on our way back, we jump in his car at the airport, and I don't know what sort of car it was. It was Flash, but the stereo was amazing. He said, "Do you want to test the stereo out and listen to something really cool?" And I went, "Yeah." He said, "Have a listen to this song by ZZ Top." And I'd never heard it. So he's put it on in a Bentley. Now, Bentleys must come with a pretty good stereo system in them, because this thing sounded like I was at a concert. And I hadn't heard Billy Gibbons play blues guitar like this, but I thought I should include this, because a lot of people don't realise that they're a Texas band. They played a lot of "Give Me All Your Lovin'" and, you know, "She's Got Legs" and all that stuff. But when they break it down to their influences, this was the one that really got me over the line with ZZ Top.
Blue Jean Blues. That one's taking Troy Cassadaly back to driving in a very speshy car through where was it again you were driving?
It was coming
Troy?
From the Nashville airport back to where I was living and renting at the time where Keith was dropping me off. So it just, wow. It blew my mind. And we were sitting there just listening to the guitar sound. And that was, you know, once again, no matter what level you're at as a guitar player or a singer, you're always going to be a nerd if you love it, if you truly love it.
I have to say, listening to some of the chat while the tracks have been playing between you two, you've really gone down into a lot of the weeds.
It's only right.
It is only right. Troy Cassadaly and Ian Moss have been my guests this hour, converting you to blues music. They are playing together October, November, December, starting in Caloundra through New South Wales, Tasmania, Victoria, dating Queensland as well. So to take us out, Ian, it's your turn. John Lee Hooker for President from Rye Cooter. Why have you chosen this?
Firstly, if anyone's been a master of worshipping or doing a fantastic job of playing blues themselves, it's Rye Cooter, and if you can tell him apart from John Lee Hooker, the way he sings the song, and it's just a fantastic lyric and kind of satirical but really funny at the same time, but still with a massive amount of respect to that genre and the man himself, John Lee Hooker.
Mm-hmm. Troy, Ian, thank you so much for coming into Nightlife tonight and converting us to the blues.
Thank you,
Suzanne. I got to say, this has been the best fun thing we've done all day, and thank you. It's just been awesome to be able to just get, disappear into my own navel, talk about something else that's not really in my wheelhouse, but I appreciate it, and thank you.
You're very welcome. And here we are, John Lee Hooker for President from Rye Cooter.
John Lee Hooker, you know you're gonna groove. Don't be fooled by the Republican. Don't pity the Democratic. Vote John Lee Hooker and everything gonna be mellow, knocked out, copacetic.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.